Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the payoff.
This is the greatest night in the history of our sport.
Right.
I'm Tom. That's Jeff. This is the payoff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Yeah, we're approaching the holiday season here, and so that's always exciting. And you know what better than on paper what should be, you know, two of the greats in Hogan and Sting, but you know, like, we had not the greatest like show last time. I didn't even realize this. Like, our month of December is not the best of matches, but
Picked them?
Do you pick this one? So,
well, it's very significant. I did pick it.
Yes, and that's true. I'll give you that. But maybe, you know, this is our season finale, you know, for this 2020. Maybe it just sums it up well, maybe, because we got some not great matches to close out 2020. But, hey, important to talk about, though. Absolutely.
You got to. You can't talk history of the sport without this one, man.
And we've talked very little Sting on this. We've talked OG Sting, but not the the black and white, you know, Crow Sting. So This one should be excited. So, yeah, so this one, you know, normally I've been picking the last, you know, few really weeks, but this one's all you. How come you wanted to do this one?
Just because it was a big match. I, you know, have I seen the match? Maybe, but I don't remember it at all. I'm expecting for it to just not be what it should have been. But I'm more intrigued, as I'm sure you are, with the build to this, the aftermath, the behind-the-scenes stuff. So this is more about that than it is about the match. But it'll be an interesting one. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one, and I think once I started kind of doing my research and digging into this one too, I did not realize just how long the feud had gone on between these two. There's just so much of this that while I knew the match, I did not remember it at all. And so I'm super excited to dig into it, because there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of behind the scenes and weird stuff that was going on with this one. And the match is one that just like, yeah, we just got to watch it. I guess there's no, like, and I have, neither of us have recently, you know, so watching this play out should be interesting.
All right. Well, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right. Well, it's the biggest show of the year for WCW.
Yep.
Starrcade 1997. We've been building to this Hogan Sting match for like 4 years. December 28th, 1997. I forgot how late in December they would do these.
When I was
doing my research, you know, we were going back and we look at the newsletters. I'm looking in 1997 and I'm like, oh wait, they didn't cover this until the beginning of 98 because it took place so late. So yeah, December 28th, 1997, MCI Center, downtown Washington, D.C. I believe the MCI Center is in Chinatown, in D.C.
It's like right downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So big crowd for this one, somewhere between about 16,000 to 17,000. Obviously, it's a sellout. Gate of 543,000. They also did 164,000 of merchandise. So, I mean, just think about that. So, let me pull out my little calculator here. So, you have 164,000 of merchandise. You got roughly 16,000 there. $10 a head. Just on t-shirts. So, I mean, $10 a head, that's not an insignificant amount. Pretty interesting, but I'm sure that obviously this record was broken many times as the years went on, but still you figure, you know, you're making a lot of money at these things, man. They were doing quite well for themselves. And then obviously a big buy rate that they made some money on as well. So big night for the company. We start out Cruiserweight Championship. Wouldn't be a WCW pay-per-view without it. Eddie Guerrero defeating, and he's your champion, defeating Dean Malenko. Then we had some NWO action here. Scott Norton, Vincent, and Randy Savage defeating Ray Traylor and the Steiner Brothers. Man, just feels like there should have been a better spot for the Macho Man. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially, I'm going to talk about him at this time, but yeah, I agree.
Goldberg defeats Steve McMichael, squash match, under 6 minutes. Goldberg's obviously on his way up quickly. Perry Saturn, who's accompanied by Raven, defeated Chris Benoit by submission in a Raven's Rules match, 10 minutes. Buff Bagwell defeating Lex Luger in a 16-minute match. Can you believe that?
When I put this card on our notes, I did not realize it was a 16-minute Buff Bagwell match.
Yeah, no kidding. DDP, okay. DDP is going to win the U.S. Heavyweight title from Kurt Hennig. Then your semi-main event, Larry Zbyszko defeating Eric Bischoff, who's accompanied by Scott Hall. So obviously no Kevin Nash to be found. Scott Hall's in Eric Bischoff's corner, and Bret Hart was a special guest referee. So Bret Hart, you know, I won't say the biggest, but maybe the hottest star in the industry because he is coming off the Montreal Screwjob. You have him guest referee this match. And then the reason we're here, Sting and Hulk Hogan for the world championship. But man, this was not a, you know, when you think about the talent they had at the time, just not much happening here. Not great booking, not a lot of great wrestling, just kind of a blah card. What a real letdown. So get us to the build of this one, man, because it's a big one.
Yeah, and so this is one, like you said, the card, it's interesting because there, you'd feel like it just, yeah, something just feels
did it feel off. Like a, did it feel like a WrestleMania?
No.
Exactly.
And so and there's just something that, you know, about it and how it played out. But, you know, how did this play out? How did we get here? So yeah, so the NWO had formed, it was July 1996. We're December 1997 when this match occurs. And so the whole time, though, Hollywood Hogan, he was the leader of the NWO, and he was the champ for most of that year. He actually won it in 1996. It was at Hog Wild. There was a weird period there where he lost it to Lex Luger for like a couple of days. I don't even know if that's canon necessarily, but it was on the list that I was reading off of. And then Hogan had it back. And so he had it that whole time from August 1996 up until this Starrcade 1997. We talk about long title reigns. Like, that's one. Like, he had it for the better part of 18 months. Now, Hogan was dominant at that point, but most of WCW's programming in 1997, it revolved around Sting. And this was the reinvention of Sting, the kind of evolution of the character. This was not the colorful paint, blonde hair Sting. This was long-haired Sting with the black and white in the rafters, not talking. This was kind of just who he was. So he had changed his appearance as actually 1996 and kind of doing that. Now, occasionally he'd have the colorful, but for the most part, by this point, especially in 1997, like, it was, you know, this is how he was. Now, it was summer 1996 is when he started, you know, kind of feuding with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. The two of them actually just coming over from WWF at the time, and then, you know, really aligning themselves with WCW and NWO. So you had Sting and Luger and Savage, or, you know, teaming up to take on Hall, Nash, and the mystery person at Bash at the Beach. And this was, you know, big storyline leading up to this one. The third person, you know, being the surprise Hollywood Hulk Hogan, who had been, you know, the face for as long as we can remember, and then joining the, you know, hitting Sting at the end of this and joining the New World Order. And so it was in terms of wrestling and just what it was, and that's one that we haven't really talked about on the show too much. Like, that was a big deal. Like, absolutely, there's no other way to kind of cut it. So how this then played out over the next little bit here, because that Bash at the Beach, it would have been July of 1996. So that's where we're at. And it really, it was like kind of Sting testing who was on his side is the best way to kind of frame it. I was kind of reading like some of the different matches he had. And so, and if you remember, he would like give them the bat that he had, and then they would, you know, he would turn his back to leave the ring. And, you know, if they try and hit him or something like that, it was just, you know, a lot of psychological kind of to the story, which was, you know, even for me, it's a little interesting. It's a different way of telling it. And wasn't, you know, Sting was something, you know, we had the Undertaker, but it was something a little different that we weren't necessarily getting. And kind of doing that. Now, you had as well, too, for a lot of this, as well as like Savage, like we talked about being on this card in a weird spot, but like kind of feuding as well too, and not feuding, but kind of teaming for a while, but then eventually Savage turning on Sting as well too. So just, you know, kind of weird during some of this time. And so you had the incident with, you know, the uncensored 1997, where, you know, Dennis Rodman joining the NWO and Sting rappelling from the roof with the zip line. Just, you know, while it was made for good TV, you know, with all that kind of happening and big names of like, you know, who was involved, it's just kind of weird though, you know, overall, like, you know, the Hogan was not necessarily the forefront of the story. You know, Sting was always involved with NWO and kind of things happening, but, and, you know, this is when he would start attacking NWO members, you know, coming to the aid of other wrestlers that were aligned against NWO. This is when you had the fake Stings as well, too, with the kind of mind games. And really for a long time, and I was kind of looking back at old Nitros, it was, and I remember watching it this time, it was almost like disappointing if you didn't get to see Sting at the end of the show. It was just like one of those things that you were kind of looking forward to, is like, oh, was Sting going to be in the rafters? Even if it was just like the spotlight on him in the rafters, it wasn't something that, you know, it was just cool. It was different. You didn't know if you were going to get it or not. But when you did, like it you know, it, but you know, you got a pop out of it, plain and simple. So, and really a lot of that drove the kind of ratings, like to keep people there, kind of see what Sting was doing, you know, those types of things. And so, so the biggest, you know, how we finally got to this match, though, was you had the on-screen WCW commissioner. It was James J. Dillon, you know, J.J. Dillon, many times trying to get Sting to, you know, get a contract to fight against some of these NWO members. And so it just never kind of happening. It's just one of the, you know, just part of the story was that he wouldn't do it. It wasn't able to get to, you know, he'd tear them up in Dillon's face. And then, it was actually one of the, you know, the Nitro episodes where he didn't sign the contract, but then he asked him, like, who did, like, he want to face. Sting just pointed at a fan sign, with plant or not, who knows, a fan that was just, you know, sitting ringside, and the sign had Hogan's name on it. And so, it really, you know, you had said year, like, it was the better part of a year and a half, you know, close to 18 months at this point, where this feud had been going on. I think even I didn't realize just how long this kind of feud had been happening. And while it wasn't a direct Hogan and Sting, it was Sting and the NWO. And so, and you really had all of WCW involved in that too. And, but at the core of it, it was always Hogan and Sting. So, And just the kind of final blow off to this match. Now, we'll get into the match now, but you know, that's really how it all played out. Tom, thoughts?
No, it's a great recap. There's just so much there. What a really cool arc. You know, we'll talk more about this during the match, but you know, how often do you transform a character, right? I mean, he went from Surfer Sting, then he had the black hair, then he, you know, ends up the Crow, and he's in the rafters. And I mean, it's just and then you have a build that's, you know, a year long. So there's a lot. I mean, this was very, very bold. It was different. It was interesting. You know, a lot of the build you have to really, really like. There was the, is he going to the NWO or not? a lot of good stuff here, man. So there's not much to pick apart leading up to the match. It's really, really good up until this point. Now we need to watch the match and see the payoff.
Yes, agreed.
So Starrcade 97, WCW Starrcade 1997, we're at the 2 hour and 26 minute mark. 2 hour and 26 minute mark of Starrcade 1997. Jeff, are you ready?
I am ready.
It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, they're facing off. Sting looking thin and pale.
Yeah. Both Hogan tan and jacked.
What do you think of Sting's attire? Kind of the full thing, with the shirt on.
I loved it. I love Sting as a kid. I thought that it was just like
all Sting or just this kind of Sting?
This Sting.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
The dark brooding Sting. I think that's just one where the character, like, just, it's just a cool character. And I think that speaks to, you know, why did the Undertaker work? Because it was Mark Calloway was the Undertaker. Like, you know, Steve Orton was Sting. Like, you know, that it's just kind of how it was. And so fans just losing their mind right now, flipping off Hogan. I'm a huge fan.
You know, I get the Crow character, but in the ring as a wrestler, like, I want to see more emotion out of him right now. You know, like, he's been waiting for a year and a half, and he's just like, he's just a little too Crowy for me. It's like, once you get in the ring, I want you to be Sting.
Yeah.
Right. No, like, you're the baby face. You got to be like firing. Like, he's moving around like the Undertaker. And I guess I still want him to be Sting as a wrestler.
And that makes, and I get that. Yeah. It's a very slow start already. Like, I don't, a lot of that's Hogan, but that's just how it is. Yeah.
Well, like, look at Sting. He looks like he's a zombie.
Yeah, I get that. It was so much of the character at the time, but yeah, but
that's part of the problem when you haven't wrestled as this character, right? I mean, yes. So he may have gone back and watched this and been like, oh God, I look terrible. But you know, you're acting like you don't know what you're doing at the time. And he may have been a little duller than he would have liked, but I mean, he just looks like he's like on drugs, like a zombie. I mean, and I don't think the Undertaker can be the dead man, but then he gets in the ring and, you know, he's doing all this crazy shit.
Right. Yeah. And right out of the gate, Hogan, I say dominating Sting, just really like beating up on him, plain and simple. Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't seen him a year and a half. He's moving around slow. And then Hogan's beating him up.
Right. Just what about you? So this is, you know, I remember this story, you know, and Sting, you know, I didn't remember how long it was, but like Sting kind of fighting the WCW. I remember that being such a huge part of WCW. What storylines kind of, when you sit back and think about WCW, like what jumps out at you?
You know, the initial NWO.
Yep.
Is a big one. God, you know, the early Hogan stuff, I'm not saying it was good. I just remember like the Dungeon of Doom stuff and the Giant and him coming in against Flair. Like, I just remember Hogan, like when he first came in, I remember this. I remember, you know, when Piper came back and he had the match with Piper, Warrior, obviously for bad reasons. Some of those cruiserweight feuds were really interesting and a lot of fun. You know, the WCW, I mean, you think about it and it's like they were basically done by like 99, 2000. It sucked. And, you know, pre-NWO, there wasn't much happening. So this was only like a couple years, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're only really looking at like 96, 97, 98. So yeah, there's not a ton. I mean, the WCW booking, man, look, they caught lightning in a bottle with the NWO, but there's a lot of shitty stuff that they did too. What about you?
Well, and you and I have talked in the past about how like they just, there was the same few guys that rotated the main events.
Yeah.
and they never really gave anybody a chance. I remember though, like, cause I was for many, many months, weeks, you know, I was WCW over WWF. And I think part of it was like the intrigue of seeing, and I was going for the names. Like I was going to see Hogan. I was going to see the Macho Man. Like, you know, I was going to see, you know, really like, you know, Kevin Nash and all that. But then also like, I remember like I was a big Billy Kidman fan. And so, you know, I just like you said, like the cruisers and kind of doing that stuff and, you know, him doing like the Shooting Star Press was just super cool. And so I, you know, watching, it was that combination for me. And that's what I remember of, you had these big name, like, you know, literal larger than life kind of superstars that were involved in the main event. But then I was, you know, able to recognize like, hey, the cruisers are doing something cool. Like someone like Dean Malenko, someone like Billy Kidman, like Psychosis, like, you know, some of these people that, you know, Ultimo Dragon, that were just really cool to watch. And that was like, that was the product. That's what I wanted to see at that time. And this one, yeah, it would have been high school. And so middle school, high school. Yeah. So that kind of disbelief was still there for me a little bit. And I wasn't paying as much attention to what was going on behind the scenes.
So I don't know how much I buy it, but the sheets were saying that Hogan was having conversations with the WWE. This obviously was going into WrestleMania in 14 season. So they're definitely bringing in Mike Tyson, or it's, you know, highly suggested that Mike Tyson's coming in.
Yep.
Hogan rumored. Savage might be close behind him. You know, I don't know. You read this stuff and you're like, it's fun to read. It's really gossipy and interesting, no different than National Enquirer, but it's probably all bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it, so much of it, like, you know, I've gotten older and realized like how much of it's a plant, like how much of it is, you know, who's working who at a certain point. We just, you know, we don't know all that, but yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to, some of it, it's just hard to believe, you know.
Really, really slow plodding, boring ass match. And yeah. I just, you know, Sting hadn't been in the ring for a year and a half. He was never the best worker. You know, Hogan's fine in the ring, but he needs a decent dance partner. And I just don't know why they would have laid this match out the way they did. It is just, ugh. I mean, let's check in on the crowd. Nothing. No, the crowd's sitting on their hands.
Yeah. And they were hot at the start.
Yeah.
There was a lot happening. They were kind of, you know, and now like they're booing Hogan when he plays to the crowd. They're all flipping him off and stuff like that. But, you know, for the most part, like they knew what was kind of, you know, whether they knew a little bit of what was going on, they're not bought into this one like you would think they would be. And again, because Hogan, all right, so Sting no selling now, the suplex.
Did you catch any of the stuff Sting did in TNA?
Not really. No, I mean, maybe the occasional YouTube video when I'd be like watching or, excuse me, eating lunch or something like that, but no.
Yeah, me neither. Well, hey, did you hear the rumor from a few weeks ago that TNA had reached out to Kurt Angle about coming back?
Yes, I did hear that. Yeah, that one I saw.
What do you think? Do you think he should have?
No, I don't think so. I think that he's probably got just a just fine legends contract with WWE, and he'll be set for life at this point. Like, you know, especially, you know, Jason Jordan, you know, not at home, living at home anymore. So that's going to make life a little bit easier, but, you know, that's just one of those where, yeah, I think that he's got a good gig and, you know, with what's happening there. So, yeah. So Hogan hitting Sting with the bat.
The rubber bat. What'd you think of Sting in WWE?
It passed his prime.
Yeah. It's tough with all the hair kind of like missing, yeah, and like thinned out. And it wasn't ideal. It would have been nice to have seen him go over on somebody. Him and Triple H, WCW versus WWE thing was just so played out and stupid. I did pop, though, when DX and the NWO came out. That was pretty badass at WrestleMania.
Well, but, and I want, like, do you do, like, we've talked about it many times, do you bring him in for Survivor Series to do, like, the captain thing? I think you could do some stuff there. You know, I think that this is one, I think the best kind of, oh, terrible selling Hogan into the rail.
Yeah, it's just,
this is one that, oh, yeah,
that was good. Yeah. Missed a stinger splash. That was not bad.
That the best kind of, the best thing that sums up how I feel about Sting in this return was when they were going to unveil the statue of Vince and they raised the curtain and Sting was under the curtain.
Dude.
He had been.
Well,
so
no, it was the Seth statue, right?
Oh, that's right. The Seth statue.
He had been champion. That was awesome. That was one of the best Raw moments of probably the decade.
See, and I'm going to disagree because I thought that that showed Sting was a little bit past like what, you know, he should be doing because like half of his like makeup had like you'll sweat it off of him just under that tarp. And so I felt like that for me, it just kind of like, it just, it's hard, that piece of it was hard for me because I was like, okay, I don't really want this because he's just like, not to say he's out of shape. He's definitely in better shape than you and I still, but like it just, it kind of ruined it for me in a few ways. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Not a whole lot happening in this one.
Yeah. It's, so we're still moving really slow. Fans, they're up, but then they sit right back down. Like the front row's up, but that's about it.
So, and I know you're going to cover this later, but I'll just mention it. I mean, they did this match again on Nitro.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
That's absurd. You know, it's like, it just, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I'm not saying never have rematches, but, you know, look, somebody, you know, somebody's parents are working hard, not make a lot of money. They spend 30, 35 bucks on this show. And then, you know, there's a rematch. It's like, why even buy this stuff, you know?
Yeah, and it's tough because, like, and so now, again, fans, Hogan getting no reaction when he's kind of calling for it.
Dude, he just hit the leg drop.
And there's the leg drop, yep. Two! 1, 2, 3.
So he gets the 1, 2, 3. Bret Hart saying no. So he's saying it was a fast 3 count, but it really wasn't.
No, and that that was a mess up.
Okay. So, I mean, it wasn't even close. Now Bret's throwing Hogan back in, and he's going to act like the referee. People are standing. Stinger splash.
And now he's got the crowd's going wild. Like, you know, and this really makes you question, why didn't this happen? Here comes the NWO. Buff Bagwell.
Scott Norton, friend of the show.
Yep.
Another Stinger splash.
Another Stinger splash, showing the energy finally.
He's probably winded. There we go. Is this the...
Deathlock. Turning Hogan over for the deathlock. Such a weird finish.
Place is going absolutely crazy, which goes to show you all to see all the good guys coming in to celebrate. Dude. I mean, this was terrible, and the fans are still going nuts.
Right. Yep. So now the WCW wrestlers in the ring celebrating with Sting.
All right.
Lex Luger, Kevin Nash.
Well, let's get into it.
Yep.
The aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, so obviously they're still in the ring celebrating.
So Well, thoughts on the match? That was not great. Yeah.
I mean, it was, I won't say, I was going to say, I won't say terrible, but it was terrible. Right. Yeah. And remember, this is your WrestleMania. This is the match you've been building to for a year. Hogan's been champion forever. You did everything wrong. Shitty match.
Yep.
Shitty match that you obviously didn't even try to lay out a decent match. Neither man looked good.
Yeah, you feel like they both come out looking weaker. Yeah.
I mean, you did the screw job finish that was confusing. You completely screwed it up and you didn't do the fat. You did the fast count.
Well, and it's
I'm sorry, but I'm still watching. Hacksaw Jim Duggan's in a tuxedo waving an American flag. Greg the Hammer Valentine is in there clapping. Apparently he was in WCW at the time.
It just looks weird. Like, it's not really giving Sting the moment. Like, there's DDP.
You could not have said it better.
Right.
This didn't give him the moment. Is this the Stone Cold's year? I mean, think about this. A few months later, Steve Austin wins the world title first time, place goes nuts at WrestleMania. Compare that with this, right?
Right. Yeah. So this one, if you couldn't tell with the Bret Hart involvement, so they really tried to play off the screw job on this one. Non-compete aside, that it was really just a little bit like 45 days prior to this event where the screw job happened. And so, you know, you do kind of wonder, like, did they wedge this in, you know, and say, oh, like, we're going to play off that. And so that was a lot of it, but really, like, everything points to that the Starrcade event did not go as planned, that the referee was supposed to make, there was Nick Patrick, was supposed to make a pinfall count, really, or he was supposed to do a fast count, plain and simple, but that behind the scenes stories and kind of what you hear, one, it was more of a normal count, and that it also, like, two, like, they say, you know, who knows? We'll never know the real true story here, that Hogan actually worked out a kind of a, behind the scenes deal with Bischoff as well, to where he would make a regular three count because it would not only protect Hogan, but it would also make the others look weak, which, yeah, it did. And so both Sting, it took away from him, and then also Bret debuting, it took away from him as well too. And so, like you said, the Nitro the following night, that was, they played this up, and so, you know, showing replays and even vacating the title, they did a rematch. It's one that, you know, we can talk about it, you know, later time.
But you just screw over your fans. Like, it's the biggest fuck you to your fans if you're going to have them pay, then you're going to give a rematch, then you're going to do a screw job, then you're going to vacate the title. I mean, why would you ever order a pay-per-view again?
Well, and to literally vacate the title the next night, like, what the fuck? You know, it just boggles my mind why you would do that. And so he ended up winning it back again, you know, Sting against Hogan. It was Super Brawl 8, February 1998. He had that, but then Hogan actually started feuding with a long-term kind of, you know, friend, rival, whatever you want to call it, Randy Savage, who actually helped Sting win the title by, you know, distracting Hogan. So the two of them, you know, had another really a short feud where they had a cage match. It was ended in no contest between the two of them. So that was kind of how that played out. You had Savage then taking on Sting at Spring Stampede, and then Hogan teaming with Kevin Nash to take on Roddy Piper and the Giant. And so you really, like, you know, it's just treating your champ like shit. Like, there's just not a lot happening. Like, Sting, you know, really didn't get over like he could have. You've got really after this too, like 1998, like a lot of Hogan's matches, and this is, you know, WCW, just kind of how it was booked and not great booking. You had like the DDP Karl Malone match as well. You had like the Eric Bischoff you know, Jay Leno match. It's just, you know, and then of course the Warrior match, which we've talked about before. So really 1998 was just, you know, to put it really, you know, to cap off 1997 and have Hogan be your champ, even though he loses it the next night, and then really have these like celebrity garbage matches for him. It just, it doesn't line up with what happened. And, you know, now looking back on it, we can say, man, that was really terrible booking. Like, you know, just kind of how it played out and things like that. And you had the division of the NWO as well kind of happening at this time, which is what Sting was involved in with the NWO and then the Wolfpack, you know, and kind of back and forth, you know, Sting, you know, supposedly joining Hollywood NWO, having the black and white NWO shirt, but then, you know, tearing it off, revealing the part of the Wolfpack, and then going to the red and black face paint as well too. So, you know, just, it's weird. I really have no other way to describe how this one kind of played out. Just
absolutely bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, better word even, you know, that it just kind of how it played out. And so what are your thoughts before I get into the reviews on this one?
Yeah, it just, the execution is like a 1 out of 10, right? I mean, the only thing that could have been worse is if, you know, one of the guys started vomiting on himself. I mean, let me ask you this. So let's say that the match would have just been Hogan winning. Hogan going over clean, retaining his title, throwing a bunch of trash at him, NWO celebrates. Would that have been better than what they attempted to do here?
I think even a clean finish, yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I wouldn't have liked it, but...
No, I mean, you'd hate it, and people would be pissed off, and, you know, they'd say, oh, they ruined Sting forever. Okay, fine, but, like, Sting doesn't look good coming out of this. They didn't do a fast count. If anything, Sting looks worse here than if he had lost clean, you know, and maybe you try to get another 6 months out of it. And, you know, Sting finally wins at another pay-per-view and overcomes all the odds. I mean, this was just so bad. So maybe I don't know, go through the reviews and then we'll give our payoff scores.
Yeah. So Hogan was ranked 55 on the PWI this year for 1997. Sting was not ranked at all. And so the PW Torch on this one said, poorly booked and executed match that gave fans nothing to cheer, 1 star. The sentiment in WCW and from most observers is that Sting turned out to be a tremendous disappointment at Starrcade. His full body outfit based on the Crow theme covered everything but his head and arms. His shoulders and chest seemed more like those of an aerobics instructor than a champion wrestler. He looked pale and listless in the ring, making it appear that he didn't train much for the match. In fact, some fans in attendance at the arena say that much of the crowd didn't think it was the real Sting until several minutes into the match, especially since Sting just walked to the ring rather than descended from the ceiling. Hogan had expressed concern dating back more than 2 months that Sting wouldn't be able to carry the ball if he won the title at Starrcade. The match itself was a disappointment, also complicated by the confusing, convoluted finish. And one of the write-ups said, you know, Hogan has more potential money matches in WCW with the title than Sting does, especially since Sting appears to be a major disappointment in his first 2 matches back. The slated plan now is for Sting to defend the title against Hogan in the main event of the sold-out pay-per-view in January, assuming Hogan is still around. If Hogan regained the belt, then it would set up a Hogan versus Scott Hall at Super Bowl, which would begin the breakup of the NWO. If Sting retained the title, he would face Hall. And so just kind of their fantasy booking at that point. But so then you get into the Wrestling Observer newsletter. This was the Steve McMichael and Bill Goldberg match was the worst match from the card, but the Hogan Sting came in a close second. So this one, so it would turn a great phrase to see that 16 months of work was exposed about halfway through Sting's walk down the aisle and before he ever got to the ring. The mythical superhero turned human right before the fans' very eyes. It wasn't as if a bad wrestling match that did it, although the match itself was bad. But you could see the big initial pop after all the hype, and special effects didn't even last until Sting made it to the ring. The match itself was a struggle. The finish was totally botched up. Sting did leave as champion, but after WCW's most successful quarter in history, the record-breaking show raised more questions about the future than answers the record revenue will provide. So he gave it a fourth of a star. Wade gave it a star. Go.
So we look at the build, the payoff, the aftermath.
Yes.
Maybe I wouldn't look so... I think the strong build makes me hate this match even more.
Yep.
Right? If the build was okay, then whatever. It's an okay match. It's okay aftermath. The build was really strong. The payoff, okay? We built to this match for a year. It's our version of WrestleMania. Biggest star in the history of the business up to this point, and maybe still ever. You had plenty of time to lay the match out. It didn't have to be a five-star classic. It just needed to be exciting and have a really strong, logical finish. The match was horrible. The confusion at the end, they had a screw job finish. Bret Hart's involved. It's super confusing, and the place still went nuts. So you had the this was the easiest scenario to book in the history of professional wrestling, and you fucked it up. So I'm giving this 1 out of 10, okay? I'm giving it a 1 because you could not have possibly screwed this up any worse than you did.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
I'm in the same boat as you. And for the same rationale as you too, because while the build was like good, like it totally collapsed on itself like a dying star. I'm giving it a 1 as well. And so because like, can we give a 0? Like, you know, we could.
I don't know. I think it's 1 to 10. I don't think you give zeros.
All right. So we'll give it a 1. And so, this is one where, yeah, it could have been. It's almost like, and looking at the larger picture of like WCW, like they didn't learn their lesson, because then you got Hogan Warrior like a year later. And so to really like give us this when, you know, and to put Sting so far behind where he could have been. And yeah, you got to wonder how much of it, you know, it's Hogan being Hogan in that backstage kind of, you know, how, you know, all the stories you've heard of how he booked himself and all that. But yeah, it just how it, you know, just was ruined in so many ways by like, and you said it even before I said it, like, oh man, you're like, Sting looks pale. Like, and it's in the review. Like, and so, you know, it's one of those things where it's just hard to believe, like, really, you have such an opportunity to give us a match that we want that's clean. And like you said, like, or like I said, like him surrounded by everyone in the ring after, you can't even see the guy. And so, and that's your champ. Like, you know, it just, it totally takes away. Now, yes, the fans popped for it because that's what they wanted. But that was the problem, was like, as soon as that 3 count happened, there's a disconnect because fans don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden Bret Hart is restarting a match and he's the ref and he's counting it. Like, what the hell? Like, you know, so it just, it plays weird. It just, you know, even describing it, it's weird. You know, it's just bizarre. There's no other way to cut it, but hey, you know, a couple of ones. That's probably, I think, our lowest scores we've ever given.
It should be. It's just they how you could screw this up. I mean, you could name 100 scenarios that would have been better. Bret Hart turning heel would have been better. Hogan winning in a clean finish would have been better.
What if Bret had come out and then Bret hit Sting?
Anything. Yeah. Anything.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, anything. Just so bad. So bad.
Well, let us know out there, especially I'm interested if anybody listening, and you know, let us know on Twitter, like if you actually have some redeeming qualities about this match, we'd love to hear it because you know, you and I couldn't.
Yeah. I want to see someone defend this match with a straight face. I'm not saying I'll listen to any argument, but oh,
we'll be civil, but yeah, it's it doesn't mean we're going to agree either.
Yeah, it's yeah. Most of these wrestling matches are opinions, and you know, some like things more than others. It's a fact that this sucked, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, give us a better send off than this match did, my friend.
Well, this was not the greatest night in the history of our sport.
No, and I was not sports entertained.
Ugh, no. So is this it for 2020 for the payoff?
We've got one more. And we've got one more match next week.
That's right. We do. I'm sorry.
Do we want to spoil it? If they've made it to this far in the show, should we let them know what we're doing? Another stinker of a match.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to us?
We've got a theme. Like I told you, man, we are covering the streak, Kevin Nash and Bill Goldberg. To wrap out 2020.
Because, well, obviously Goldberg retains his title and keeps the streak going in that match.
I will get an accurate record by the time we get into the match next week. But,
so we could talk about this next week, but did they screw up even more the following year than they did in this one?
Oh boy. At least we knew what the finish was. Like, we leave knowing what happened and it was a little bit cleaner, but two is still pretty low compared to one. So we'll see what happens, but yeah, but
all right.
Well, we'll get there and that'll be it for 2020. So we'll see what happens, but all right.
All right. Well, thank you as always for joining us on The Payoff.